Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. For many who live in the U.S., the end of November marks the beginning of holiday season. And at holiday gatherings with festive decorations, music, and food, there's also the potential for conversation that veers into uncomfortable, even divisive territory. Even if there are no arguments at the table, getting folks together can be an ordeal, as shown in this 2019 Saturday Night Live sketch.
I know everyone's busy with their lives and has their own things that they have to do, but it means so much that you're here with us in our home for the holidays.
And that goes for both of us.
How come your damn sister couldn't host?
Because my sister's house is a dump, Daniel.
No, I got to pay for all this damn food? Oh, hell no!
As I have always said, this house is happier when it's full.
Now, preparation can make a significant difference in situations like that, and being ready isn't limited to managing space or budget or having an extra plunger around. So to provide a bit of advice around navigating complex family dynamics and topics that could turn up more than your oven's heat, we welcome Dr. Marva Robinson, licensed clinical psychologist with the VA. Marva, thanks so much for coming back to St. Louis on the Air.
And thank you for having me.
So, Marva, to start us off, I'd like your thoughts on kind of what we heard and what it is that makes the holiday season a time that is so fraught that it warrants the kind of treatment that we heard from Saturday Night Live.
It's a great skit, but a very valid one. Even hosting something like dinner is more, there's more than just a financial cost. There's an emotional cost. There's a physical cost that comes with it. So the preparation, wanting things to be perfect, not wanting to forget anyone, having enough food, thinking about the emotional ties you may have with all the people that are coming. So there's a lot that can come with hosting a dinner. It's more than just cooking food and people showing up. And so, especially for those that are hosting, that is quite a task to take on.
Yeah. So if we start with that, are there things that you've talked about with clients regarding how to kind of take some of the pressure off themselves when it comes to that hosting role?
So for those that say, you know, I want to host dinner, I've been doing it for years, it's important to me, I say, okay, so the plan is around how do we make this go smoothly, right? Mm-hmm. So it may be about having someone bring a dish or an item so that the load of preparing food isn't so great. Or it may be around making sure you have great icebreakers or games that you can kind of keep things light around that time. But for me, it's also about helping that person to really set the tone of their intentions for the dinner, right? So we go into this writing sample of what is your intention, what is your hope and your goal? And so as long as you have that crystal clear in your mind, that's your guiding post for that day.
Mm-hmm. How does writing that down help? And how do people go about making those intentions clear to guests without it coming off like, I'm going to control this situation?
Right. So they can do a couple different things. They can write it down and put it, fold it up and put it in their pocket. So if they find themselves becoming flustered, they may want to take it out and read it to themselves to just kind of recenter themselves. I've had people put it on nice little decorative cards and have it on the table or at place seatings, maybe a door, a sign or something like that, just so people can kind of see the tone that's set for the environment of what that intention is. It could be gratitude. It could be thankfulness. It could be about sharing. But whatever that intention is, there's multiple ways of sharing it, but in a more hidden way.
Now, the way that we have talked about the conversation we're going to have today, we did lead with some of the conversations that can get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And especially given that we've come out of a very contentious election season, there's been a lot of conversation around that. And we put out a call on social media and asked, has this year's election affected your relationship with a family member or friend? We heard from Allison on Instagram, who wrote, we're just not going to Thanksgiving this year. Mm-hmm. And Sarah on Facebook said that since moving away from her Republican family, she's not anxious about Thanksgiving dinners anymore. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing, or have you been hearing, election season's long, have you been hearing people worry about that particular topic, something that has to do with politics coming up in the context of these family gatherings?
Absolutely. As you said, I worked for Veteran Affairs for the healthcare system, so it has come up quite a bit for several months. And so, yes, there has been a lot of anxiety about what will happen, if it will come up, how do I address it? And so just as the person who wrote in made that decision, sometimes the intention that people set for themselves for the holiday doesn't include being in an atmosphere that may feel toxic or volatile, or one that may lead to a divisive conversation. Mm-hmm. So that's a choice that people get to make. However, you have some that will say, you know, I will be sure to keep the focus on the love that we have and the respect that we have. And so they've made a conscious choice that they will divide conversations or divvy conversations away from those topics and recenter it around something else. Just to keep a respect, because you never know who went which way. Mm-hmm. And so instead of putting something out like that where it can be an explosive conversation, just saying at the beginning that, you know, for this dinner, you know, certain topics will be off limits. Mm-hmm. And that's okay to do as well.
Yeah. We also heard from Ashley on Facebook. And Ashley wrote, this year I finally set a boundary that if a family member isn't going to be supportive of me, then I won't be attending their events. And let me tell you, it's been a huge stress lifted. No passive aggressive turkey this year. We also want to hear from you. What are some of the choices that you have made over maybe the last year or so about how you will engage with family over the holidays, or maybe to step away? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. So taking yourself out of a situation and this thing with boundary mm-hmm. setting, is there a way that you can sort of participate mm-hmm. and draw boundaries without it being a door shut?
Absolutely. I'm definitely an advocate of boundaries because you have to think, if you attend a dinner and every moment you're there, you're saying to yourself, I wish I should not have come, right? How healthy is that for you? Right. And so some people do take the stance of I am doing what's best for me and my mental stability. And so, yes, there are other ways you can show up. You can still donate foods or items. You can still call and send well wishes. You can still send funny holiday pics. You can still call the host and check in and see how things were, or help to prepare or plan the next family gathering that may be a bit further away from the most recent election cycle, which may also help with kind of mending things with putting a bit more distance.
Okay. So boundaries are something that people talk about a lot these days.
Yes.
How is it that you explain to someone what a boundary is, and maybe on the other hand, what it is not?
I like people to think of it in terms of what you are willing or not willing to negotiate in terms of what you feel to be safe, right? And so if dinner means sitting across from someone whom I know has been abusive physically or verbally, and so for me, I walk away feeling more bad than feeling good, that means you've crossed your own boundary for the sake of someone else. And are you willing to do that? And some people will say, no, you know, this year my boundary will be I will engage in things that make me feel good, and things that don't make me feel good, I will not attend or be a part of.
Now, we heard from Ryan on Instagram. Ryan's question is, can you discuss the nuances of navigating a space where an abuser is? And so this sounds like a situation mm-hmm. wherein you would need a boundary, but maybe not one that you can discuss with someone else for whatever set of reasons.
Yeah. So I've dealt with this question a lot. And so I've taken a pretty clear stance in helping to support survivors in that you have a right to be in a space where you feel safe. And you have a right to enjoy a dinner without feeling as if you're forced to look in the face of someone who's abused you.
Mm-hmm.
And usually in those circumstances, other family members are aware of this past abuse or something that's happened. And so some families take the stance of, we just won't talk about it. Mm-hmm. We'll pretend this didn't happen. We'll pretend this person didn't do this thing. And so for me, then the rest of the family is being complicit in that behavior. And so that individual has a right to say, I am not willing to force myself in this unhealthy situation for other people mm-hmm. or for the appearance of a family dinner. And they can choose not to go. And they have the right to also hold the rest of their family accountable for not advocating for them.
Mm-hmm. We need to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we'll continue this conversation, including advice from clinical psychologist Dr. Marva Robinson about ways to manage some of the interactions that folks may be having over this holiday season. We also want to hear from you. Are you approaching family or other social gatherings differently this year? Maybe there are some practices that you found helpful or even beneficial. Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. We'll be right back. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with licensed clinical psychologist, Dr. Marva Robinson. Dr. Robinson's here today discussing and taking your questions, preparations for interactions with family and guests that could be challenging this holiday season. Before the break, we were talking about ways that a person may decide not to engage at holiday gatherings and decisions that folks will make to manage sort of some of the things that are complicated, particularly about family. One of the things that I'm curious about has to do with people who are missing. Sometimes going to a family gathering means not seeing someone who has been taken, transitioned, right? Or for some other reason is not there and you want to be where they're with them. How do you counsel people who are dealing with some grief and perhaps wanting to avoid that grief and staying away from gatherings for that reason?
Yeah, that's a big one. And that actually comes up the most getting through a holiday, especially if it's the first of anything without that loved one. So it depends on where that person is in their journey in grief and what stage they are. Some people may still have a seat at the table for that individual mm-hmm. to honor them. Some people may choose to go to other family members' house instead of staying at home, which I do encourage. I say if you have a support system, that is the time to lean into the support. I hear often people may say, well, other people have a lot going on. They have their own families. They don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be a burden. But I say, no, push through that.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask. You know, a lot of times people want to love on their loved ones or their support system, but they just don't know what ways to approach you.
Mm-hmm.
So I say be open to that. Lean into the love and the support. Try not to spend that time alone, and you may find out that it may not be as bad as you may think.
Mm-hmm. How do you push through that temptation to isolate practically?
I tell people practically to put things on the calendar. So if you decide to visit three different friends, schedule it. set reminders on your phone. I'm going to go to this person's house for breakfast at 10. I'll go by this friend's house later on at 3, and I'll wrap up at this family member's house at 7. And literally set that in your phone as schedules, mm-hmm. because we often will stick to things that we have scheduled versus if it's an abstract concept or an idea. So if you put it on the schedule and you let them know, and they know to call and check on you if you don't arrive, mm-hmm. that makes us a little bit more accountable to following through on that plan.
Okay. If any of what Dr. Marva Robinson is talking about resonates with you, particularly around positive tips and steps that we can take to make the holidays easier, give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. Let's continue with the constructive tips. Mm-hmm. So let's say we're all gathered together and there's a conversation and you're getting the sense this is starting to go in a direction that does not lead to positive things. Is there something that you recommend that people, you know, do or say to kind of turn the tide a little bit?
They can do just that. Hey, this is going left. Let's refocus the conversation. Or that could be a good time to break out a family board game. Or I'll tell people sometimes I have things on the wall or a big poster about gratitude, right? Everyone who visits, leave a short message about what they're thankful for, what they're grateful for. So that may be a good time to remind people, did you write your message down? Let's do that. It's time to eat. Mm-hmm. I need help making this. Let's arrange that. Or just reminding people of what your initial ground rules were.
Okay.
Right? Like, my intention for this dinner is to be uneventful and joyous, and that conversation isn't contributing to that intention.
Right. So redirecting and reminding.
Redirecting.
So for these situations, the SNL skit that we played, mm-hmm. part of that skit has to do with bringing people who are going to be part of the family, joining through marriage and that sort of thing. And sometimes, you know, there are differences in social or cultural values, mm-hmm. not just political ones. How is it that that you counsel people to produce sort of or to generate conversation mm-hmm. or an atmosphere that is friendly even to those maybe who are coming from different sets of experiences or yeah. different values?
It's a great opportunity to do so. I usually encourage people to approach it with childlike curiosity. So asking questions, you know, can I ask a question? I don't want to be offensive, but can you explain to me about this? Or can you explain to me, you know, what region you come from? Or can you explain that? And so if we do it from a sense of curiosity, where we're going into it to learn, then it becomes more about sharing versus someone may be feeling attacked or under a microscope.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything about what people should not be doing when it comes to media? So last year you did talk a little bit about what's on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
What should we avoid media-wise that could lead to some uncomfortable situations? Or is there something, again, more positive that we can think about implementing to?
Yeah, usually at most dinners there will be some sort of a sports on one of the televisions, which is always good for, you know, banter, something that's light for the children. But, you know, sticking to holiday music, you know, talking about future plans. But anything where there may be a lot of topics that may be divisive, I would say like news and things like that, which can kind of derail things a bit, might want to shy away from. You know, oftentimes the news may even show more traumatic things that are happening on the holidays, so that may also derail the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So sticking to things like, you know, music, games, maybe sports, something light for the kids.
Yeah. And speaking of kids, there is a saying in Korean that the arguments between adults
mm-hmm.
will turn into arguments between the kids and also vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're dealing with a situation that's cross-generational, and you're making an attempt to pass on some traditions, mm-hmm. minus some of the things that make holiday gatherings uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
How do you advise people talk or work with their kids before they get to the place where people are gathered around a table?
Yeah. They can have conversations in terms of their child's classroom. You know, in your classroom, mm-hmm. there are people that come from many different places, and you all may not always agree on things in school. So family gatherings are the same way. You may hear some things that you may not agree with. You may even hear voices get a bit loud. It doesn't mean that things are bad, just that people are having spirited conversations. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay for people to not always agree on the same thing. Our job is to try to learn their perspective while also maintaining respect. Mm-hmm. And so having those kind of gentle conversations prior to dinner can definitely serve as a great buffer.
Yeah. Can you share maybe a story of success that you've heard from a client who came to you feeling really anxious about holiday gatherings and ended up doing something that actually kind of turned things around and made for a very positive and memorable time?
Oh, yes. Let's see. I worked with a family, an individual once. I had a very large family from many different parts of Missouri, very diverse. They also brought their spouses. And so this person was a bit concerned about how the conversations would go and about space. So they really worked on divvying out some of the responsibilities of who would bring what food, extra chairs. And so they really worked on creating a physical space that allowed for people to kind of branch off and not necessarily crowded in a smaller space. Mm-hmm. And so that worked out really well. And they set little decorative cards throughout the house about their intentions so that people commented on those versus trailing off into other conversations. Mm-hmm. And they felt proud of themselves when they were able to recenter the conversation around keeping things respectful and light. And they didn't get backlash. They didn't get the pushback that they were expecting.
Oh, great.
So it worked out really well.
Yeah. Eva is on the line from St. Louis. We have just a couple minutes left. So Eva, please, what is your question or comment for Dr. Marfa Warbinson?
Yes, my comment was, when you're gathering with friends and family and you're going to discuss the loved one, because I lost my daughter 3 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And people have to be patient. They cannot expect the grief to go away right away.
Absolutely.
And sometimes just being quiet and watching that person. With me, the first year, I didn't want to be around anyone, but I wound up going because the people talked me into it, and I'm glad I did.
Good.
So this is the third year. So gathering with friends and family is important, but the people around you have to also show patience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Eva, thank you. And very quickly, if there's something that you want to leave us with.
Absolutely. So, yes, lean into support and go as she did. But, yes, do practice patience and do understand that that person may be struggling. And if you don't check in with them at the dinner, maybe think about 3 days or 7 days afterwards. Just check in to see how they're doing.
Mm-hmm. So not only preparation before, but being ready
Absolutely.
To do things afterward.
Afterwards.
Dr. Marfa Warbinson is a clinical psychologist with the St. Louis VA. Marfa, thank you so much for coming back to talk with us again.
Thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.